with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. We've got a Your Sports Edge edition of the Sideline Report today. We'll talk with Tom Rogers about the Region 2 baseball and softball tournaments, which have been completed this week. We'll also check in with Scott Brown in Lexington. He's covering the state tennis tournament and the state track meets this week. So stay with us. A busy show coming up after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
This is Colin Pope, financial advisor with InvestFB. I'm excited to have Travis Perry with me here. What we do at InvestFB is not a lot different than coaching basketball. Any chance you could call me Coach Pope?
That might be a little awkward. Maybe we could try Mr. Pope?
Mr. is too formal. At InvestFB, we strive to know our customers on a more personal level.
Now that sounds familiar. Working together to build a winning team.
This is a paid testimonial. The provider has received or will receive compensation paid by the Farmers Bank and Trust Company. The individual providing this testimonial is a current client of InvestFB Wealth Management and does not have additional conflicts of interest. The testimonial may not be representative of the experience of other customers, and the testimonial is no guarantee of future performance or success.
Whether you're cruising a Kentucky country road or weaving through city streets, Tri-Cues has the perfect vehicle for your next adventure. Discover their friendly team and check out a fantastic lineup of new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned vehicles. There's something for every style and budget, so you can drive with confidence wherever life leads. At Tri-Cues, you're treated like family from your first test drive to every service visit. Start your journey at Tri-Cues.
This is Kevin Meacham from H&R Agripire. A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like a Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors that get the job done right, Z-Series mowers that delivers a quality cut, and a Sidekick utility vehicle where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Come see us at H&R Agripire on Eagle Way in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, for all your Kubota needs.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYonline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYonline.com and click on Big Deals today.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. As promised, now we're going to talk with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. And Tom, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, sir. Welcome. I'm glad to be back, as always.
Yeah, a busy week for us. So we've had ball games on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we now have two second region champions.
Yeah, two second region champions. I think you could really look at both of them and say it was sort of expected that it would end up this way. How they got there, maybe not, but I think at the beginning of the year, these would have been the two teams that everybody picked to win their respective regions.
Yeah, you had Lyon County and University Heights Academy in baseball, Henderson County and Livingston Central in softball. Henderson ended up winning that one last night, but Tom, Livingston Central took them to the limit.
Yeah, that's one of those heartbreakers for Livingston Central, and one that it'll be a long summer for them. You sent me the note last night that it was a 4-0 game, and I'm like, uh-oh, and you got to give Henderson credit. They got down 4-0, and they still found a way to get back and win it.
Yeah, a couple of long balls, a grand slam to tie the game, and then the thing goes extra innings, and Anna Kemp hits a solo home run on the very first pitch of the bottom of the eighth inning, and Henderson wins another one. And, I just keep saying that Henderson won another championship because I haven't gone back and counted them up yet. It just seems like they've had a stranglehold on that thing for a long time.
Yeah, I think I had looked the other day, and it was they had been the only one to win since coming out of COVID, haven't they?
Yes,
I believe. So you know, Madisonville had that run there for a little while, but it's been Henderson County's now, except for the 1 year Christian County won. I think that was the first year we had your Sports Edge that Christian County won it, but it's sort of been a Henderson County thing just about since then.
That was a heavyweight matchup in softball because you had defending state champion Henderson County, and you had two-time defending Class A state champion Livingston Central.
Yeah, and that Livingston Central team, I mean, you look what they did at the All-A when, I mean, they weren't even threatened at that. They rolled through that. But, you know, it's different when you're playing smaller schools, and then you got to play one of the largest schools in the state with just a lot of really good players. And, you know, Anna Kemp did what Anna Kemp's supposed to do in that situation. What you expect your big game player to do is she came up with a big hit at the big time.
Yeah, usually we hear about her pitching performances, but she did pitch well last night. But Livingston got her for 3 runs in the first, another run in the second. Victoria Joyner had a home run for Livingston as part of that 4-0 lead. But Anna Kemp, who I think now is headed to Southern Indiana, came up with a big hit in the bottom of the 8th inning. And kind of one of those deals where Henderson was the home team because just the luck of the draw, that's how the bracket came out. They were the top team in the bracket. Once you get late in the game, though, being the home team is a big deal.
Yeah, because you know what you've got to do, or you know how little you have to do to win it. And, you know, like you said, one pitch, and that was it. You know, it's one of those, both on both sides, it's the reaction for when you win it suddenly like that. It's just like you played 8 innings, you battled through this time, and then it's just over like that.
Yeah, a walk-off hit is like the greatest way to win, but it's also like the worst way to lose.
Yeah, that's one of those things. How does Livingston Central respond? You know, how do they recover? Sometimes that sends a team on a bit of a downward tick. Other times it will send a team into we're going to work this offseason, and, you know, maybe they come back, you know, bigger next year. Of course, they lose, you know, a couple of key pieces, but you start with Tramble coming back for that bunch. And when you've got one of the region's best pitchers, you always have a shot.
Well, and it was an outstanding season for Livingston Central. Like I say, getting that second straight All-A Classic state championship, getting to the championship game of the second region tournament means a whole lot as well. And I think both teams were ranked. I believe Henderson County was number 5. Livingston Central was number 18. So, like I said, that was just a heavyweight matchup. And Livingston was a little shorthanded. I know they lost one player before the season even started, and then their best hitter got hurt just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and they still found a way to get themselves in position. And if you look at the regional tournament, they very easily could have gone home that first day. I mean, Christian County, you had them, you know, right there on the ropes until they got those 2 runs late.
Webster County, the host site for the girls' second region tournament this year, and Caldwell County had a good season, got a win in the opening round against Union County, but then kind of ran into that Livingston Central team in the semifinals. And you talked about Tramble. She struck out 15 against Caldwell County. Henderson hit her a little better, only had 3 strikeouts, but like you said, Tramble, I think Tramble might be the best team in the region, or the best player in the region, if it wasn't for Anna Kemp.
Yeah, and we talk about the one pitcher. You and I remember back to the days when Al Giordano had Jennifer Jackson. I mean, you didn't have to have a whole lot. If nobody can score on you, you just got to find a way to scratch out a run or two. And if you have that dominant pitcher, you're always in it.
Yeah, one season up at Henderson County, I believe Jennifer threw back-to-back perfect games in the first 2 rounds of the region. And then against Christian County, gave up 1 hit.
Yeah, every now and then I will be talking with Christian County Coach Kiki Radford and say, you remember that day? She goes, quit talking to me.
but if I remember correctly, didn't they move the pitching rubber back a little bit at some point after that to kind of give hitters a little chance?
Yeah, I think they did because, I mean, Jackson was just so – I think her ERA that year was like 0.27.
Yeah.
Just nobody scored on her.
If you had one really good pitcher back in the day, you were set.
Well, you know, Caldwell County back in those days, Jackson would dominate And Al would try to get that early run. If he got somebody on base, he'd try to steal and bunt and then get the ball on the bat and get the run across. And once he got up 1-0, he felt pretty good.
Yeah, those were kind of the glory days for Caldwell County softball. Won region titles in 1998, 2000, and 2002. But going into this season, the Lady Tigers had not won a district championship since that 2002 season. So this year's Lady Tigers finally got over that hump, beat Madisonville North Hopkins for the 7th district championship, took down a Union County team that had beaten them during the regular season. So all in all, Lady Tigers finishing 17-15, but a really strong finish to the season.
Yeah, that 7th district, those two are going to be, you look at coming back, both of those two could be really strong. Madisonville loses a couple, but they bring back Sadie Kirk, and they've got some bats in that lineup. So they are trying to get back to the position they were when they won that state championship.
Moving out of the 5th district and into the 7th district, did not help Caldwell softball any, because at the time Hopkins Central had a really strong program. And then it seemed like when Hopkins Central softball program kind of ran out of gas a little bit, here came Madisonville, and they had a strong program and even won a state championship around 2017, I believe.
Yeah, and then now you look at the 5th district this year, and it's like, who wants to be in there? Because that was probably, I don't think much argument about it, it was the best district in the 2nd region this year.
Yeah, and Trigg County ended up winning the district over there, beating Livingston Central in the championship game.
Yeah, and you look at that Trigg County team, they only lose one player. That squad is set to bring everybody back next year. Lyon County, they only lose one player. Now, it's their starting pitcher, but they only lose one player. Livingston brings back a bunch. Crittenden County brings back a bunch. That district gets even better probably next year.
Yeah, when you start looking at the region as a whole next season, without Anna Kemp, who will finally graduate after what seems like about a 10-year run there, does Henderson come back to the pack any, or do the Lady Colonels just keep on putting people out there and winning?
I don't know. Until somebody beats them, you have to put them up there. But, I mean, you could make arguments next year that Livingston could contend, Trigg could contend, Lyon, Caldwell, Madisonville, Christian County, who knows. There's some shuffling, I think, going to be going on there. It's just hard to see. If there's a chance for somebody next year to break through, next year looks like a good year to happen.
But you're right. As far as this season, I think the top two teams in the region did make the regional championship game, and that doesn't always happen. Sometimes because of the draw, sometimes you get an upset along the way, but I think most people thought all season long that Henderson County was number one, and if there was anybody to get them, it would be Livingston Central.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how the whole year played. And Henderson actually thumped them pretty good early in the earlier in the season. So Livingston took their shot yesterday, and last year in the regional semis, they lost 10-0, and they had them right there. Livingston did what they needed to do. They were in it late and just, could not find a way to pull it out.
Yeah, the first part of the game saw the scoring. Livingston got 3 runs in the first, a run in the second. Henderson had a grand slam in the third. And then both pitchers put up zeros until that one swing in the bottom of the 8th.
Yeah, and it's one of the situations you feel for Tramble. You wonder if she's thinking, what if I had done this just a little different on that last pitch? But again, it's one of the region's best pitchers against one of the region's best pitchers and best hitters, and it just, it comes down to that. We saw that the other day in the softball game with Trigg County when they got knocked out. It came down to Timber Oliver being at the plate with a chance to get Trigg over the hump against Madisonville facing Mackenzie Stoltz, and Stoltz just got the better of it in that matchup, but it came down to best pitcher, and pretty good hitters. So,
yeah, Henderson County with the championship again, beating Livingston Central last night 5-4 in extra innings. We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. Need to get to a break. We'll come back and talk about the regional baseball tournament this week right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Charter Senior Living Community in Hopkinsville offers the best in personalized care and memory care services. Their community provides a unique and comfortable living environment tailored to each individual's needs.
At Caldwell Medical Center, caring for your family is at the heart of what they do, offering family practice, internal medicine, and pediatric services to handle your health needs. From wellness exams and vaccinations to the treatment of various health conditions, their comprehensive care keeps you covered. Don't travel for quality health care. Find everything your family needs with Caldwell Medical Associates Family Practice Clinic, right here, close to home. Find more information at caldwellmedical.com.
You only turn 130 once. And Fredonia Valley Bank is pulling out all the stops. This remarkable journey is a testament to the community and the cherished customers, so they are shouting out a huge thank you. And what better way to show gratitude than with monthly giveaways? Stay in the loop for your chance to grab some amazing prizes. Stay tuned with us. Follow Fredonia Valley Bank on Facebook and Instagram, or pop into either location for a visit. Here's to winning and celebrating together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Join WPKY at Princeton First Baptist Church Christian Life Center in downtown Princeton nightly, June 2nd through June 6th.
We assure you the money that we collect goes back to local youth activities.
Donations and items are still needed.
Something for everybody.
Gift certificates.
The value of $20 to start out with.
Contact a Princeton Optimist or Kiwanis Club member today for information on how you can help support the youth in our community.
We have a Facebook page, Princeton Kentucky Optimist Club. Everything we donate to, we put on there. We want to be responsible to this community and let them know where their money goes to.
For more information, visit our website at WPKYonline.com.
Supporting people further in their education. Caldwell County and some in line that receive that. Little further reaching maybe than people realize.
The WPKY, Princeton Optimist and Kiwanis Club Radio Auction.
So many great things that I've seen them do over the years.
For more information, visit our website at WPKYonline.com.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Talking this morning with Tom Rogers from YourSportsEdge.com. Of course, the second region baseball and softball tournaments finishing up this week. We talk softball. Let's turn to baseball now. And Tom, this was a season that I think Lyon County had looked toward for a long time. They had all those seniors. They had the tournament at their place, and they ended up winning a championship.
Let me give you a number, or a couple of numbers. 43 and 5. That's Lyon County's postseason runs. They scored 43, and they gave up 5 so far in the postseason.
Yeah, that's pretty stout.
You don't lose many like that. I mean, they began the year, some of the statewide baseball-focused publications ranked them as one of the teams that could contend for a state title. They dealt with some injuries. You know, there were some concern during the course of the season about the Eli Baker's shoulder. He recovered, and he looked really good in the semifinals against Henderson. And then Peyton Williams was just, on the mound and at the plate yesterday. They had strong pitching, and they had some big timely hits at the region tournament.
Well, and you talk Lyon County pitching. They had so much pitching this year, I don't even think they had to use it all in the regional tournament. And then you got kids like Eli Baker that's going to Radford. Peyton Williams is going to pitch at Western Kentucky. So they had the pitching to get through that three-day run at the region.
Yeah, and you look at Peyton Williams, they were sort of nursing him along during the course of the season. And really, yesterday was the first time he got anything close to going a full game. And, well, he, other than giving up the one seventh-inning mistake there on that home run ball, he just never let UHA, which has a pretty good bat lineup, he just never let them get going.
You know, we all thought it would be Lyon County and UHA in the championship, especially after we saw the draw. But the RPI in the region actually had Caldwell County as the number two team all season. But the Tigers just got a bad draw with Lyon in that first round.
Yeah, and then you throw in the injury to Ari Wells, too. And so, you know, that's a bad combination. And you just, like you said, the draw was set up by the fact that they had that night where they couldn't hit against Madisonville. And Madisonville got that win and put them into the situation where you had a 1-3 chance of drawing the one team you really didn't want to draw in the first round.
But again, Lyon had all those seniors. like I said, I think they kind of looked forward to this season and kind of worked it where they had the region tournament this year. So everything was just kind of lined up for Lyon County, which if you're looking ahead, they've only got two starters coming back for next season. But if you're looking ahead at the postseason to come this year, they do have a chance to keep on winning.
Yeah, and especially now, think about this. The state baseball tournament used to be like in 1 week. Now they split it. You've only got to get through two games, and then you get 5 days off. So now you can theoretically throw everybody you got over those 2 days, and then everybody's eligible again to come back the next week. You know, that's a big deal, especially for smaller schools. If you're a big school, St. X, Trinity, you've got enough pitchers that you could play a four-game event in 1 week and not be in trouble. But for smaller schools like Lyon County, traditionally, it has been maybe you have two pitchers or, you know, maybe two and a half, and it's a struggle to get through four games in 5 days. Now you get two games in 2 days, you're off 5 days, and then all your arms are lined up ready to go again.
Of course, the big win, I thought, for Lyon County in the second region tournament was the semifinal victory over Henderson County. And you look at the final score, and it was 13-0, and you think, well, it wasn't that difficult, but Henderson County had kind of been Lyon County's kryptonite the last few years in the regional tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you look back, we thought Lyon was set up for a big, big run after they won it back in 21. And then the very next year, 2022, boom, Henderson County puts them out. You know, that's just, like you said, it was their kryptonite. They just couldn't get back, even though you look at that team and figure they were going to win five or six in a row. And it's just, I was talking to one of the assistant coaches last night for Lyon County. I said, you know, you looked at this in 21 and you thought, hey, this is going to be a big run. And I said, it's just hard to do because there's so many things, injuries, pitching matchups, the draw when you get to the region tournament. So many things factor into it, especially when you figure out that, you know, high school players have the pitch limit.
And I believe if we look ahead a little bit, Lyon County gets McCracken County at state.
They do. They get McCracken County next Friday. They, surprisingly, they have not played since back in 23. McCracken has won the last three. They've only played like six times. Lyon County has won one. They won back in 2021, 6-5. McCracken has won the last three, but, you know, they haven't played since then. They were scheduled to play last year and didn't get it done. So it'll be an interesting matchup. This is not, to me, I saw McCracken against Hoptown earlier, not your typical McCracken team. Now, they got pitching, but it's not a team that can just waylay runs. They beat Hoptown with, like, the number five pitcher, but they didn't put up a lot of runs on Hoptown. So I think this is a very possible situation that Lyon can put this off and move on.
Now, did I see that McCracken County won the first region for the 11th straight year?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I think they've won it every year that they've been a school.
Yeah.
So they've kind of dominated.
I think it is one of those runs. Their softball team had been sort of like that, but then they can beat this week. Now, the winner of McCracken Lyon actually gets the winner of Region 9 and South Warren. South Warren won Region 4. I saw them earlier this year. They're pretty good, but they Christian County and University Heights both beat South Warren this year.
Now, McCracken County baseball beat Graves County in the first region championship game last night. And, of course, former Caldwell County head coach Josh Young is an assistant coach at Graves County, and they made the run to the first region final.
Yeah, and that was a nice run by Graves, and you know, McCracken was just glad they didn't have to see Tillman again, because Tillman beat them in the district championship, but then Tillman got taken out, and so McCracken was able to get in without facing their crosstown rival.
Was a interesting year in the second region. I think most of us thought Lyon County was going to end up being the team that would probably end up winning the region, but then when you look behind Lyon County, there were a bunch of teams that on a given day could be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, University Heights had a really good year. You mentioned Caldwell County's good year. Madisonville, surprisingly, ended up, getting 20 wins this year?
Yeah, they won 20 games.
That was a young Madisonville team with a chunk of their team that could have been sitting down the parkway a little ways. Christian County's record is not an indication of how well they played. They only ended up 15-15, but they had their moments. They got hurt late in the year. Eddie Davis goes down. Gage Montez doesn't get to pitch. So they had their moments. Webster County had a really good arm. And then give Trigg County a lot of credit for what they nearly pulled off. They nearly got to the regional final. They had University Heights on the ropes in the semifinals. And just Trigg County, that's an adage of pitching. The Wildcats just simply ran out of arms. So
yeah, and Trigg beat Madisonville in the first round. And the Maroons were actually on a pretty good roll going into the regional.
Yeah, they had been rolling. And I was a little surprised Madisonville did not come back with Harris kid who had pitched against Caldwell and pitched so well. He'd been off enough days. He could have pitched in that regional tournament game. And, well, you talk about a start. Trigg County hit them with 7 runs early, and that game was over.
Now, do we know where the regionals are going to be next season yet?
That I'm not sure. I can tell you who I think will be the regional favorite going into the season next year.
Okay.
I think that's University Heights.
Yeah.
I think that's University Heights. They lose one player, and we got to see A.J. Hogart for one game this year and the impact he has on that team. He started at third base yesterday. He got one hit, but, I mean, now they get Hogart for the whole year. They got that whole rotation. They don't lose a single pitcher, and Eli Finch is the only graduate. So you really, as close as they've been the last 2 years, they've been in the regional championship game now 2 years in a row. You have to figure that going into the year, Heights is your preseason favorite next year.
Yeah, and I kind of like where Caldwell County is going to be next season. They do lose 2 seniors to graduation, but you start talking about pitching, and Caldwell has all of its pitching coming back, it looks like.
Yeah, I thought Puckett pitched real well against Madisonville. It's just his defense, behind him had that one inning that let Madisonville get that one in their pocket.
So Lyon County with the regional baseball championship, Henderson County, a regional softball championship. But thankfully, the weather stayed away long enough this week that we got everything played. And even though we had to kind of jimmy the baseball schedule a little bit, everything got finished on time.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, there was all that talk about, well, we got Monday in, but Tuesday's going to be a washout. And we ended up getting Tuesday in. Got a little rain on us, but, I mean, not enough to threaten anything. So, all in all, it was a pretty good tournament. I thought the crowd last night was really good. I thought the crowd the last 2 days at baseball, I mean, you were at softball, but I thought the baseball crowd the last 2 days was pretty good, and a big crowd there last night.
The softball crowds were good, except for the late semifinal game Tuesday night when it started to rain a little bit, and the game was 7-0, and then we saw the crowd thin out just a little bit. But other than that, really good crowds, especially for the championship last night.
Yeah, and I thought both schools did a really good job hosting it. And it was sort of, you know, in Lyon County, it was Matt Wilder's last event to host as he's moving up the road a little bit. So, but I thought everything went pretty well.
All right. Appreciate you coming on this morning and talking glad about to. The second region baseball and softball tournaments with us.
All right. Glad to do it.
That's Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com, and that's baseball and softball. Stay with us. We'll chat with Scott Brown coming up next. He's in Lexington covering the state tennis tournament and the state track meets. Caldwell County in action today at the Class 1A meet in Lexington, and Scott will have all the coverage of that, and we'll talk to him right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
For a store that's as unique as you, there's simply one thing to do. Head straight to the Persnickety Pig, Broadbent Square, Katy's. Make the drive soon. You will not be disappointed.
I'm Stephanie, manager of Purcell Tire. We offer a wide variety of options to keep your vehicle running smooth. We are now offering our car care package that includes oil and filter change, tire rotation and tread depth check, brakes, battery, belts, and hoses check. Call us today at 270-365-7291. Come see us at 309 U.S. Highway 62 West in Princeton, or visit us online at PurcellTire.com.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Feeling under the weather? Visit Princeton Drugstore for quick and easy testing. For only $40, get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. And the pharmacist can write you a prescription on the spot. In about 20 minutes, you can have your diagnosis, prescription, and a school excuse without leaving your car. Why wait at the doctor's office when you can get back to feeling better faster? Come to Princeton Drugs drive-thru today and take the fast lane to recovery. Princeton Drugstore, your quick stop to feeling good again.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations, it's a girl.
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Donate fans or money today, and those in need will be assisted through PACS. Find out more at WPKYOnline.com. Thank you to all of our sponsors, Cadiz Ace Hardware, Penny Royal Hospice, Southern Homes Realty.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Joining us now from Lexington, Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. Scott, we've got state tennis and state track going on this week. How's everything going in Lexington?
Well, it's been a rainy few days up here. The KHSAA having to go to Plan B, which is three indoor locations, two in Lexington, one in Nicholasville. I watched, not all of, but I watched a part of about 10 matches on Tuesday, and they were all indoors. And then on Wednesday, two of the three matches I watched were indoors. The one girls doubles team, Albany Ray and Emma Tagg, they got to play on center court at the University of Kentucky, which was pretty impressive. You talk about a crazy 24 hours. One of the locations was in Nicholasville at a racquet club, and there were five courts in that facility, and three were in use by the KHSAA, and Albany Ray and Emma Tagg had to play a state tournament match against four guys playing a 60 seniors match that were just locals. And then the court over from that, a 10-year-old was getting tennis lessons. And so that in 24 hours, they go from playing there to center court at University of Kentucky. So that was a little bit interesting. But the rain's been hit or miss. And, you know, they unfortunately had to go to Plan B. It altered some playing rules. There were no advantage, no advantages played. And I think the tiebreakers were straight up no win by two on the first two rounds, and then they've gone back to normal rules after round three.
It's tough enough to get the state tennis tournament in when you've got all of the UK complex there to use. When you have to just try to find indoor courts, it really slows everything down.
Well, it was going to be interesting because, you know, the Hillary Boone Tennis Complex is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's about 10 to 12 outdoor courts. But in the past, they utilized 12 courts that were adjacent, that were the recreational courts. Well, they've tore those out. They're expanding the parking garage. If you're familiar with this area of University of Kentucky's campus, they're expanding the parking garage across from the Nutter training facility and adjacent to the tennis complex. So they've taken out those recreation courts. So even with no rain, they were still going to play at three locations on the first day. They were going to utilize UK for the girls, and then boys singles were going to be at Sayre High School, and boys doubles were going to be at Lexington Christian. So that's probably going to be the plan moving forward because they're not going to be adding any more courts here at UK. So, kind of interesting, but that's what they've had to go on with. And, of course, then the rain made it where they had to play a bunch of stuff indoors.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's any place in the state, though,
where you could get more tennis courts to make that a quicker event?
Yeah, there's not. It's just one of those things. You know, it's kind of like during COVID, they had to run the state cross country meet in the middle of a field in Paris. You know, and I mean, it was a field. I mean, school buses got stuck in the mud trying to get out and had to be pulled out with tractors. And it's just one of those things. You do the best you can, but the loss of those 12 courts, you don't realize how important that is until you try and get an event of this size and magnitude off. But they've done a good job with it. And, you know, they've communicated with everybody well on where they're supposed to go. To my knowledge, there hadn't been any no-shows. So, you know, the kids don't care. They just want to get on the court and play.
Typically, if you make the state tournament from this end of the state, you're just kind of glad to get there. The state tournament is its own reward. And you can kind of see it, though, because Kaw-Wa County's entries up at state got some really difficult draws.
If you don't win or be runner-up in Region 2, if you're the semifinalist, you are going to get a bad draw. And when I say bad, I mean, you're just not going to get a good one. You're most likely going to face seeded competition. Case in point, the two girls doubles teams from Hopkins County Central were semifinalists at Region. And one of them drew McCracken County, who was seeded 5 through 8. And the other one got a team that was seeded 9 through 16. So you're going in playing either one of the top 8 teams in the state or one of the top 16 teams in the state. And honestly, they did not play bad at all yesterday. They would have won some matches against Region 2 teams. But the problem is they're playing either a region champion or a region runner-up from other areas of the state that play better tennis. And so they got beat. And if it's your first trip and you're taking on seeded competition in the first round, it's about experience, you know, trying to learn some things, especially if you're young, that you can learn and hopefully apply when you come back in the future.
One of the cool things about the brackets online, they actually have the UTR ratings for all the players. And typically from this end of the state, especially the second region, players will have a 1 rating or a 2 rating. Rare that you see maybe a 3, but then you look at the draw they get and they're taking on players who are 5s and 6s. So it's just a different level when you get to state tennis.
It is. And, you know, the Region 2 schools, I don't want to say they struggle, but they're kind of behind the eight ball in what I like to call the country club sports, swimming, tennis. They're good for the area, but then when you get to the state competition, you really find out just how good, you know, when you get to state swimming, your goal is to make it to the finals. It's not necessarily to win it. If you're from Region 2, you want to make the finals. When you go to state tennis, your goal is to get to the second day, you know, and that's what they want to do. If you win, normally if you win 2 matches, you come back for the second day. Now, of course, this year, the weather's kind of thrown that off, but Todd, you talk about the UTR. Madisonville's doubles team of Kylie DeMoss and Caroline Lovern, they're at a 5.2, I think, is their rating. They got a number 3 seed, which I've not seen a Region 2 girls doubles team get that high of a seed. And they advanced onto the round of 8, which is the farthest any Madisonville doubles team's ever advanced.
Yeah, it was a little surprising to see that they had that 3 seed, just because you don't usually see somebody from the second region seeded that highly at state tennis.
You don't really. The only ones you see from Western Kentucky that high are McCracken County. Their doubles team, Cassidy Parker and Alexis Poor, they took care of Hopkins Central's team in the first round, and then they eliminated Emma Tagg and Albany Ray of Madisonville in the second round, and did so without, you know, much of a threat. And you know, McCracken County, they put out good teams, and the schools from McCracken County always have. Even when Lone Oak was around, they always had a tradition of having you know, good teams. But you know, it that's just, again, it's all about soaking in the experience and getting better. And you know, it's really a measuring stick. You get up here and you watch good tennis, you see good tennis, and you play good tennis. And you get to kind of see what the real good players are like.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. We need to get to a break. We'll talk more with Scott right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights, Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout-out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Ready for road trips, school runs, or a weekend in the city? Trice Hughes has just what you need. Check out their huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, all ready for your next adventure. Their friendly team treats you like family from the second you walk in and keeps you rolling with top-notch service every visit. Cruise into Trice Hughes in Princeton, where the perfect ride and true care come together for every journey.
Welcome back to the Sideline Report. We're talking with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. He's in Lexington for state tennis and track this week, and Scott, makes for a busy week for you, but how many of these state tennis and track tournaments have you covered now?
Let's see. Tennis, I didn't cover tennis till we launched YourSportsEdge.com in 2017. So 2018 would have been the first year that I've really covered tennis at any level. You know, coming from Trigg County, they haven't had tennis since the 70s. And so it's neat to kind of start covering a sport you never have. I think I've been to every one. They didn't have one in 20 because of COVID. And I think there was, 19, either 18 or 19, I didn't cover one, but I've been to every one since. And then track and field, I've been to every one since 2018, and I covered probably six more at the newspaper back in the early 90s and then again in the early 2000s.
The Class A state track meet coming up on Thursday there at the University of Kentucky. And, of course, Caldwell County will compete in that. But you've also got Fort Campbell and University Heights Academy you'll be covering. So you're going to have a lot of entries to keep up with at the Class A state track meet.
Yeah, my day gets progressively easier to cover. Class A on Thursdays is always the toughest because, as you said, it's Caldwell County, it's UHA and Fort Campbell. And then I always cover the Livingston Central and Crittenden County kids as well. Livingston Central has one of the top hurdlers in the state, and Talon Sanchez, who got on the podium last year and is seated in the top three in the 300-meter hurdles. He's got a chance to do some things. You know, Crittenden County, they've got some distance runners that usually do well, so I always cover them as well. So Thursday makes for a busy day, and then Friday you get AA, which is Hopkinsville, Hopkins Central, and Trigg County. Of course, there's a 70% chance of rain on Friday, so hopefully it'll be a dry day. And then Saturday, my day consists of Madisonville and Christian County, which Madisonville has one of the top athletes in the state, and Trishawn Smith, who won two jumps last year at the state tournament or state meet. This year he's going for three, but he set a school record and a region meet record, went 48-10 in the triple jump into the wind, and that broke a 39-year meet record by almost a foot. So that dude's got some hops, and he looks to defend two state titles in the triple jump and in the high jump, and we'll try and add a third one in the long jump.
Well, let's hope there are no timing issues at state like we saw in the regional, because, Scott, have you ever seen that situation come up in a regional track meet?
I haven't. You know, we were at Paducah Tillman earlier this year, and they had some issues, and they made an announcement over the PA and said, any coach with a stopwatch, please report to the finish line. And that's when you're like, well, that's not good, because that's an announcement you never want to hear. But they stopped the meet. They shut things down, and it was about an hour delay, and then they went to Plan B and got a second timing system in and finished the meet without incident. And that's the big question that is being asked is, Murray kind of had an idea three events in that the timing wasn't working. There was a 4x200-meter relay that, and I got a great picture of it, that came down between Murray and UHA for the second place. And it was a photo finish. And the coaches went to the tent to ask who won, and they couldn't tell them. And then they ran a couple of more events, and they came back and said, all right, you should know by now. And they didn't know. And that's the problem. When you don't know immediately who won a race, and you don't know 20 minutes after a race, that's a problem. And they just continue to run the meet like the times are just going to magically appear in the computer. And I think that's what frustrated a lot of people. And I wasn't in on the Zoom call that they had the next day to determine what was going to happen. But I've got it on good authority that the KHSAA was not happy at all with how it was run, what they chose to do, and then, of course, having to come back and rerun it, the running events on Saturday when you had a bunch of kids who weren't going to be there.
Yeah, just a tough situation. Thankfully, it kind of worked out the way it did originally. The two champions for the team stayed the same, Fort Campbell's boys and Murray's girls. Caldwell County got to keep both of its regional runner-up trophies, so it would have been a travesty if someone would have to give a trophy back.
I think for the most part, I don't know, because we really have no way of knowing, but I don't think there was a if there had to be less than five kids who would have qualified on the first day but then did not qualify on the second. I'm not going to say they weren't any, but there were probably a couple, but it wasn't as much as a lot of people thought it was going to be. You know, now there were some outcomes that were different. Some first and seconds were different. I know Fort Campbell won the boys 4x4 relay going away at Murray, and UHA came back and got the win, you know, on Saturday. But, you know, as it is, you know, they went with Plan B and got things done.
Yeah, highly unusual, though, to have to rerun a regional track meet. But I was told that the KHSAA offered the region coaches two options. One, they could just take number one and number two in every event to state, or they could rerun it. And, of course, that's not really an option, because if you only take one and two, you're leaving off a ton of automatic qualifiers.
You are, and it wasn't long ago that a relay team, and I forget which school and what relay, it may have been Mayfield, but they finished fourth at region and finished second at state.
Wow.
And they would not have gone if they'd just taken the champion and the runner-up. So, you know, region one, especially in Class A, traditionally is pretty heavy. I mean, there were three or four events where four kids from region one qualified, two automatically and two by the at-large berth. So I think that's the main reason why they chose not to go that route, because they always send one, two, and sometimes even three extra people in the events, because your champion and your runner-up automatically qualify, and then there's six regions, and they take the 10 next finishers, whether it's time, distance, or height. The 10 next best also qualifies as at large.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame that in an era where everything is videoed, we don't just have video of all those races and can go back and time them off of that. It seems like maybe that would be a backup plan in the future.
Well, it was the backup plan, but for whatever reason, the video wasn't working.
Oh.
And so that's why when the coaches went to find out who won that 4x2 relay, they said, well, you just look at it and see. They didn't have it. And so, you know, it's one of those things where that meet was originally scheduled to be run on a Tuesday, but we had some bad weather roll through the area. Now, Callaway County was going to host the 2A meet on that same night, and they moved theirs to Monday night, which was run under near ideal conditions, a little windy, but no rain. Murray chose not to move things up because when you get into this time of the year, you've got to work around graduations. You got to work around baccalaureate. You got to work around senior night. You got to work around class night. You got to work around senior trips. There's a lot of things you got to work around. Now, I know a couple of years ago, Class 3A had theirs during the day at Marshall County. They started at 10 o'clock, and they were done at 4. And that way, you don't run into the problem of kids missing a graduation or a senior night or a baccalaureate because you're done at 4 o'clock. And if kids can go to DECA conferences and FFA conventions and stuff during the school day, I don't know why they can't let a handful of kids go to a track meet during the day so they don't miss their class nights. But that's why I'm not a school superintendent or an athletic director and ultimately make those decisions. But, you know, if Murray had moved that thing up to Monday like Callaway did, we wouldn't be having this conversation, I don't think, because, you know, I think then if there had been a scoring problem on a Monday, they could have come back and rerun that thing on a Wednesday or Thursday and not a Saturday.
Well, hopefully we never have to rerun one again. Good luck to you covering up at the state track meet the rest of the week, and we appreciate you spending some time with us here on the Sideline Report.
Yeah, it's always a fun time of the year. You know, when kids go to state, you see more emotion out of them at the state tournaments and state meets. I don't want to say more than district or region, but as much, if not more. And so, hey, Caldwell County, I've got a story coming out soon at yoursportsedge.com talking about the rise of the Caldwell County track and field program. You know, they've done great things in just a short amount of time. They've got a lot of kids who qualified, so there's a good chance you're going to see some pictures of some kids on the medal podium this weekend from Lexington.
Yeah, that'll be great. Thanks, Scott.
All right, Todd, thank you.
Again, that is Scott Brown from Lexington. He's at the state track meet, also covering state tennis for yoursportsedge.com this week. Appreciate him being on the show here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY Princeton, Kentucky. Also, thanks to Tom Rogers for joining us earlier and talking about the second region baseball and softball tournaments here on the Sideline Report, as we have a bit of a Your Sports Edge edition of the show this morning, and checking some of the early results from the state 1A, Class 1A track meet in Lexington. Dawson Springs winning a state championship in the 3,200-meter relay. So congratulations to the Panthers on that one. Again, Dawson Springs is the state champion in the 3,200-meter relay as the state tournament, state track meet just underway, the Class A event this morning in Lexington. For more, be sure to check yoursportsedge.com. We'll have photos and pictures and recaps of state this week. We've got lots of coverage from the regional baseball and softball tournaments. That's all at yoursportsedge.com. That's going to wrap us up for this morning's edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and yoursportsedge.com. Again, thanks a lot for being with us this morning here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.